ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What's on the mind of the country's biggest, most influential, and most innovative business leaders? You get to find out every Friday with me, Alan Kohler, as I sit down with the people influencing the markets, the economy, and the ideas shaping our world.
The housing supply situation is completely out of whack, and if we don't act urgently about this, we will end up in a world where it doesn't matter how big the pie is and how much your slice is, you won't have anywhere to eat it.
Find That's Business with Alan Kohler on the ABC Business Daily feed on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcast.
Marco Rubio is hitting his stride. He's Trump's top national security advisor and his Secretary of State. He's taken over the White House press briefing, sat down with the Pope, and is now in China for Trump's showdown with President Xi. So, no wonder speculation is growing that he could be the next Republican presidential nominee instead of the one-time favourite, J.D. Vance. Today, Jeff Kapaservis from the centre-right think tank, the Niskanen Centre, on the new political battle in the US. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Jeff, there's this story doing the rounds in Washington, D.C., and it's been reported by a number of news outlets, that Donald Trump is musing aloud and posing this question to staff, to his friends. What do you think, Vance or Rubio? What's he up to?
Sam, in a way, Donald Trump has made the 2028 Republican presidential nomination part of his crowd routine. He'll sort of say to a crowd, so what do you think? Who should be the nominee? Should it be Vance? And then he'll hear the cheers there.
Yes.
Or how about Rubio? I think he's just really doing it to sort of play up a bit of attention at this point. Mm. It's really quite far out from 2028 and the nominating contest. But on the other hand, you know, what Washington insiders call the invisible primary is already underway in both the Republican and Democratic parties. And you're starting to see some signs that different people are maybe jockeying for support for the nomination.
As you say, yes, he was posing this question initially, I think, behind closed doors. But then he turned up this week, of course, in the Rose Garden and just put it to everyone at a public function.
Who is it going to be? Is it going to be J.D.? Is it going to be somebody else? I don't know. Who does anybody have? Okay, let's go. You ready? Who likes J.D. Vance? Who likes Marco Rubio? All right. That was a perfect ticket. That does not mean you have my endorsement under any circumstance.
Is he suggesting here that these two men should run together on the same ticket, or is he pitting them against each other? What do you think?
You know, he's suggested that Vance and Rubio do run on the same ticket. Sometimes he'll say Rubio-Vance, sometimes he'll say Vance-Rubio. But the reality is, I don't think he or anyone else is committed to either of these potential candidates at this point. For one thing, I think Donald Trump still, in his heart of hearts, harbors a desire that he could himself be the nominee.
All right. Well, let's consider J.D. Vance for now, and then we'll come to Marco Rubio.
Sure.
In July 2024, of course, Donald Trump announced that J.D. Vance would be his running mate in the election that was held later in the year. That was a huge moment, of course, for Vance, and it did set him up, didn't it, to be the next presidential nominee. So just remind me of that initial relationship between the two men.
So J.D. Vance has had one of the more meteoric rises in American politics in recent decades. I remember meeting him for the first time back around 2016, and he considered Donald Trump to be cultural poison akin to heroin. He was an OG never-Trumper back then. But of course, he saw which way the political winds were blowing. He made sure to reinvent himself as Donald Trump's biggest fan. That got him the Donald Trump nod that allowed him to rise through the primaries in the Ohio Senate race and allowed him to get elected. Donald Trump, in choosing Vance, I think, number one, liked the fact that he was a convert and could potentially carry the MAGA brand through the Republican Party into the future. You know, typically when a president was running even for re-election, he would choose somebody who represented a different faction of the party. Mm. But Trump, in this case, has so thoroughly remade the Republican Party that it's all MAGA all the way down. And therefore, he was choosing somebody who would really be not just his potential successor, but also his ideological heir.
Mm. And for a while, polling showed that Vance was, of course, favored to run for the presidency for the Republicans at the next poll in 2028. But since, Jeff, the war in Iran, things have been shifting, haven't they?
Well, there's a lot of noise in polls when it comes to trying to say now what voters' preferences will be in the fall of 2028. Most voters, frankly, haven't even begun to think about these things. But yes, there is a bit of confusion going on in some of the results of the latest polls. The war in Iran might be complicating these things. J.D. Vance, he never has come across as very enthusiastic about this Iran war. Donald Trump has actually said publicly that J.D. Vance maybe wasn't fully aligned with the plan to go into Iran.
He was, I would say, philosophically a little bit different than me. I think he was maybe less enthusiastic about going, but he was quite enthusiastic.
But he has since, you know, said he supported it, but largely as a means of keeping a nuclear bomb out of Iran's possession. He hasn't been as enthusiastic about this intervention as Marco Rubio has. And there's some evidence that the Republican Party is starting to show some splits, even among its MAGA base, on the Iran issue. So we're all sort of waiting to see what happens with this Iran war and its resolution, if there is going to be one, whether the high price of gas in this country, as well as the unsettled state of the world, are going to actually discomfort some of the MAGA base in ways that might put a damper on either Rubio or Vance's aspirations.
There have been also, though, Jeff, haven't there, a few gaffes, if you like, from Vance recently, including when he lectured the Pope about being careful with discussing theology at a Turning Point USA event in April.
I think it's very, very important for the Pope to be careful when he talks about matters of theology. If you're going to opine on matters of theology, you've got to be careful. You've got to make sure it's anchored in the truth. And now,
He is a devout Catholic, but yeah, only converted, what, in 2019? So, I mean, those comments didn't go down particularly well.
Well, you know, it takes a certain amount of hubris as a new Catholic convert to lecture the Pope on what the Pope really ought to be standing for.
Mm.
Nonetheless, for those Catholics who are Republicans and Trump supporters, I think, you know, this is just one more of the things that you would imagine would put people off of Trump and Vance, and yet somehow doesn't.
Right. And he went to Hungary to campaign for the former leader, Viktor Orban, who actually lost. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going
for
Vance right now.
Well, you know, he doesn't have a lot of pull in various segments of MAGA. That's true. He did not seem to be able to pull Viktor Orban across the line. Of course, you know, again, deep inside Washington speculation is that if Trump genuinely thought Orban was going to be reelected, he would have gone himself to support his man. So, you know, I think J.D. Vance is forced to take on some thankless tasks.
All right, so Jeff, while J.D. Vance was initially seen as a shoo-in to become the Republican nominee in 2028, things are shifting. And of course, there has been these increasing reports surrounding the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, and whether he will put his hand up. Now, a reminder, he actually launched a presidential bid in 2016, didn't he? But suspended that after losing the primary to Trump. So he certainly has leadership ambitions.
He does. He notoriously flamed out when he was running against Trump and did not put on an impressive performance there. Even his attempt to outman Trump by making fun of the size of his hands really backfired on him.
Yes.
He's always calling me Little Marco. And I'll admit, the guy, he's taller than me. He's like 6'2", which is why I don't understand why his hands are the size of someone who's 5'2". Have you seen his hands? And you know what they say about men with small hands? You can't trust them. You can't trust them. You can't trust them.
There is a feeling among people in the White House that Rubio has matured. He's more at ease with himself than he was back when he ran then. He's also seen as having a somewhat independent brand from Trump, maybe one that actually reaches back a little more to older versions of Republicanism, like the kind that would have been familiar to Ronald Reagan. But yet he's actually been very adept in both channeling that kind of support from the business community, for example, while not forfeiting his support from the more populist MAGA people. But of course, he hasn't really had to make much of a difficult balancing act because he's not officially a candidate for anything at this point. So the pressure is much lower than it would be if he were to actually throw his hat in the ring.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, he has been in the spotlight a lot recently. He's also a devout Catholic, that's worth noting, and he's been filling in for the press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, who's on maternity leave. Campaign-worthy material was sort of coming out of his mouth. He's pretty smooth, right?
Right there in the green. Are you guys all the TV people?
Yeah.
No. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go. I'm learning. They gave me a little map. I don't know where I put it of the people here. Some of you had like red X's. I'm kidding. No, that's not true. Go ahead.
Marco Rubio has sort of ascended in the polls, or at least some of the polls lately, partly because he's had more visible roles, not just because of the Iran war, but also because of the Venezuelan intervention, for example, that deposed Nicolas Maduro. He has been actually sent on some more high-profile visits, such as visiting the Pope, visiting Giorgio Meloni in Italy. But, you know, he also has been very upfront in supporting the Iran war as an expression of American values, has been very enthusiastic about this and has gone out of his way, I would say, to make a case for the war. And again, I think there is goodwill toward Rubio on the part of the base because they see that Trump likes him and trusts him enough to give him two of the biggest jobs in government, Secretary of State and National Security Advisor. But again, that would go away, I think, if Rubio were perceived as bucking or rebelling against Trump in any way.
Jeff, as you say, the 2028 election is a way off, of course, but the question of who will come after Donald Trump, it is occupying the minds of quite a few people at this point.
The president has been toying this idea of a joint ticket between you and Rubio. What do you think about that?
There are a few topics that I want to talk about less. I just don't think it sounds like the president of the United States to have a televised competition for who would succeed him as his apprentice. I just think that's not at all what you would expect the president to do.
Of course, before then, though, there will be a real test for Donald Trump, and that will come in the form of the midterms in November. What are we expecting will happen there? Donald Trump is falling in the polls, isn't he?
So, you know, politics will drive you crazy if you let it in this town.
Yes.
It is true that Trump has been falling in the polls and Republicans generally have been falling in the polls. Historically, what would happen in that case is what we call a thermostatic reaction, where the other party starts to rise in the polls. We haven't seen that. So even though people don't like the Republicans, this does not mean at this point that they like the Democrats any better. Now, you certainly would expect that the Democrats would do reasonably well in these midterms, because that, again, is a historic pattern that the party in power almost always loses in these kind of midterm elections. So it's really a volatile situation right now. Democrats had been very up just a week ago. Now they're very down. It's really not entirely clear what the midterm results will be.
Okay, but Donald Trump, if he is increasingly unpopular among the American people, do you think it's good or an actual hindrance for a Republican nominee for the president to be closely linked to Donald Trump? Will that work in Rubio or Vance's favor or actually work against them at this point?
Again, this sort of depends on things we don't know right now, like what the price of gas will be a year from now, what the state of the world will be like, whether China will have taken advantage of a perceived moment of American weakness to militarily intervene with Taiwan. There's just a lot of unknown unknowns here. But again, you know, you would think that it would be a huge negative to be tied to an unpopular president, except that, again, we don't know who the Democrats are going to put up or whether they will have regained any popularity by that point. It's very dangerous to be a Nostradamus in this town.
Yeah, it's very uncertain times, that's for sure. But okay, well, I'll pose it to you anyway, Jeff. It's Donald Trump's question after all. Will it be Vance or will it be Rubio or will it be neither? What do you reckon?
You know, if I was put on the spot, I suppose I would say that at this point, Vance is still the likeliest person to succeed Donald Trump because he holds what is in effect the prince position as Trump's chosen vice president. And at this point, Marco Rubio has said that if Vance runs, then he himself will not run for the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump still, he's said, again, the prohibition on a president serving three terms only applies to consecutive terms.
Mm.
So I wouldn't completely rule this out. You know, it's also a possibility that he might want to keep the presidency within the family. Perhaps Donald Trump Jr. might be a nominee. And then there's always a possibility, too, that if things go very badly for this administration, that they might be challenged from outside. Maybe by Tucker Carlson, the entertainer and podcaster, and another sort of dark horse in MAGA circles. So there's a lot yet to be determined.
Jeff Kabaservis is from the center-right think tank, the Niskanen Center, in Washington, D.C. As you may have seen, the federal court has found that Coles misled customers in a fake discount case. If you want to know more about the supermarket's Down Down campaign, we covered that on the 19th of February, and you can find that in our feed. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed, audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.